Good evening. Well, for the last few days, we've been focusing on a theme of listening to God's voice, moving forward to a place of mystery and perhaps danger, leaving behind our comfort zones and our safety, and trusting God with our lives, trusting God with our possessions, listening to His voice and following Him into the future. And trusting Him. And tonight, I would like to focus on an essential element of this calling to step over the edge and trust God and live a life by faith. And tonight, I can say that just all day long, since I woke up early this morning, just God's been burning something in my heart. I just want to talk about God tonight. I just want to talk about my God. I want to just express to you my God, the God that I know. And I want to begin tonight, if we could, by looking at an incredible story out of the Bible. It's in 2 Kings chapter 6. And the background of this is that there is this king of a land or a place named Aram. And he is hunting down Elisha. And he has a great army, and every single warrior in this army is searching to kill Elisha. And Elisha is in a certain town with his servant. And they sleep there, they stay in this house, and then early in the morning the servant comes outside. This is in verse 15. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. And when the servant saw this enemy, when he saw the danger, he panicked. He screamed. He ran inside. My Lord, the city is surrounded by the enemy warriors. He said, what shall we do? And Elisha said, I could just picture him sort of wiping the sleep from his eyes. And in a very relaxed, calm voice, oh, don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And the servant looked around. It's just the two of us. And there's an army of thousands of people outside. They're closing in on us. And Elisha just said, relax. It's okay. Lord, would you open his eyes to see? And then God touched the servant's eyes. And he looked around. And the hills were full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Two men. One who could only see with his eyes, paralyzed by fear. The other man, able to see into another dimension, able to walk through life in the dimension of faith. Being able to see the unseen. And I think what's essential for us to understand is that the glorious warriors, the chariots of fire, were always there around Elisha, and he could always see them. It's not that when the eyes of the servant were opened that God's protection suddenly came into existence. God's protection was always there. God's presence was always there. But one man knew it intimately, and the other man didn't. You see, Elisha knew God. For Elisha, God wasn't just an idea. God wasn't just something that he read about. God wasn't just something that he heard stories about and learned about and knew about. But Elisha actually knew God. You see, there's a difference between knowing about God and knowing God. I can read about some of my heroes or people, writers, people like C.S. Lewis. I can read about them. I can read biographies. I can read what they wrote. I can find out so much about them. But I have never actually known them personally. And God calls you and me to move beyond knowing about Him into a relationship where we actually walk with Him and experience Him. You see, for so many of us, and for me, for much of my life, I knew God through the stories, through how He revealed Himself to people thousands of years ago. But the stories were not my stories. And then God opened my eyes to see that the same God of the Bible is here. And He is my God. My God. And tonight I just want to tell you about my God. My God has many names. His first and primary name is Elohim. Elohim means strength and power. God is also has other names. El Eshad, the One. El Hanuman, the Faithful One. El Emet, the Truth. My God is El Shaddai, the All-Sufficient. My God is the Champion and the Warrior. That's my God. That's not only the God of David. That's not only the God who appeared before Moses in a burning bush. He's my God. He's my God who is with me when I go to sleep tonight. And He's my God who is with me when I wake up tomorrow morning. My God is El Roy, the God who sees me, who is with me. My God is El Chayai, the God of my life, who gives me life, who breathes life into me, and I only live because of Him. My God is Emmanuel. And that's a name that was only revealed in the book of Isaiah. And God wants us to know that He is not only Elohim, the God of strength and power, who is known from a distance, but that same God is Emmanuel, the God who is with us. The God who was with Hannah when she was crying out for a son. The God who was with little Samuel. And he was lying in his bed at night, and the voice of God in his room spoke out, "Samuel." That God today is still speaking. God didn't just give us a bunch of stories about Him and reveal His characteristics in a book, then shut the book and drift away to go give His attention to another planet or just go on a 2,000-year-old vacation. The same God who parted the Red Sea is the same God who gives us miracles now. The same God who spoke to the prophets is still speaking. He is still moving. Right now, He is active. He is alive. He is whispering. He is working out His miracles. He is creating. And that is the God that I have come to know. You see, in the beginning, my God existed before anything else. My God was existent in the midst of absolute nothingness. Before there were any angels, before there was anything else, my God was there. And my God spoke out of the darkness, out of the nothingness. And my God said, let there be light. And there was light. And when my God spoke, then beauty came into existence. When my God spoke, the dry land came into existence. The beauty of the forest, the fruits, the animals, the sea, the fish, the birds, all that is good and beautiful came into existence when my God imagined it and spoke and His words created. But you see, my God also created a school called Charis. My God created Adam and Eve. But my God also spoke to me in the middle of the night. It just woke me up with a burning passion to open a school for Indonesian children. And God, my God infused my heart with His dreams and visions and made it hard for me to sleep until I just come out of my room in the middle of the night and just fall on my knees and pray and weep with tears streaming down my face for Indonesian children. And my God just gave me pictures in my mind of a school that would raise up children who would rise up and glorify His name all across that nation. And today that school exists. Why? Because my God created it. See, my God is not only the creator of a long time ago. He is creating right now. See, my God once gave some dreams to a boy named Joseph. And those dreams spoke of the future. Those dreams radically reshaped his life. See, my God gave dreams and visions to a man named Daniel. And my God still today gives dreams and visions. My God spoke to the prophets. And He gave His truth to the prophets. And my God today is still speaking. My God called Abraham and He said, Abraham, I want you to get up and leave the place where you grew up, your zone of familiarity, and I want to take you to the place that I will show you. My God did that. He said that. And my God also spoke to my mom and dad when they were students at Prairie Bible Institute in Three Hills, Alberta. And He said, I want you to leave your place of familiarity and I want you to go to the place that I will show you. And He led them out to a tropical island called Irian Jaya. You see, it was my God who spoke to Abraham, and it was my God who spoke to my dad and my mom. It was my God who watched over them. And my mom and dad went into the territory where this tribe lived in a little canoe. And when they pulled up onto the shore, they were met by hundreds of warriors with their faces painted with white war paint, holding shields and spears and bows and arrows. And they went up onto the shore. My father with my oldest brother, Steve, who was in his arms, walked up and just like my God parted the Red Sea, my God parted this crowd of warriors and my mom and my dad and my brother walked right through the middle. And then they went up to their house, their little thatched roof house that my dad had been there a few months earlier to build. And during those first 3 days and nights, those warriors shouted and danced like a little hurricane, nonstop, all day and all night around their little house, welcoming them. My parents didn't know at the time, but because my father was carrying his son in his arms, in their culture, they received him with peace. They said, anyone who comes to us carrying his son, we will receive as one of us. And that was my God who worked that miracle for them. I was a little boy, asleep in that little thatch roof house growing up. And one night, a 3-meter python crawled into my room. And it came over top of the toy box, and one of the toys fell. And that python was coming right at me. I think I was maybe 2 or 3 years old. And it was my God who woke up my dad to come in and check on me in the middle of the night and see that there was the snake and rescue me from that snake. You see, my God was with Daniel all night long as he was surrounded by lions who should have torn him apart. But because God was with Daniel, God watched over him. And my God was with me as I was a little boy. You see, my God was walking through a town. And by the side of the road, he saw a man with leprosy. And my God had compassion on this man. And this man, perhaps for years, had had no one ever touch him. He was totally excluded from society. People just threw money at him from a distance, but were terrified of coming anywhere near him. But my God walked right up to this man and touched him. And just poured his love and compassion all over that man. And through my God's touch, this man was healed. And you know what? My God was with me and with Cindy. Our first child was born, Katie. We gave her the name Katarina Skye. Skye, S-K-Y-E, after an island in Scotland where my ancestors came from. And our sweet little beautiful little baby girl. We brought her home from the hospital. And after about a month, Cindy started realizing maybe there's something wrong because she was born at 8 pounds. But at a month old, she was 6 pounds. And she had actually lost weight. And so Cindy took little Katie to the doctor and started doing some tests. And this went on and on, and after 6 months, Katie was still only 8 pounds. She was the same weight as when she was born, yet she was 6 months old. And I remember being in the grocery store holding her, and people would come up and say, "Oh, you have a newborn baby." But Katie was 6 months old. And finally, after running numerous tests, the pediatrician said, "Your daughter has a disease called cystic fibrosis. And there's no cure for this disease. most people with cystic fibrosis can live quite a normal childhood, but yet very rarely do they make it beyond the teenage years. So we went home from that appointment, and we called the pastors and the elders at our church, and we called all of our family members and all of our friends and anyone that we knew at the time who knew our God. And we said, would you be willing? We're just going to fast and pray for Katie over the weekend. We're not going to eat or drink on Saturday and Sunday. We're just going to pray and pray for God's healing in her life. And we did that. And many other people who knew my God did the same with us. And on that Monday, it's like the transformation just started taking place before our very eyes. She suddenly just started filling out. Within weeks, she was growing. And her triglyceride level, we took her back to the doctor, her triglyceride level had totally returned to normal. And from that day until now, there has never been any other sign that she has cystic fibrosis. You see, my God was with us. See, that's my God. That's not just the God from this book from 2,000 years ago that we learn about in Sunday school and have these stories. See, my God was with me. I know my God. My God is present with me. When I was jogging today, my God was with me. He even was telling me what to say tonight. You see, God wants to be with you. He wants to walk with you. He wants you to not only know about Him from a distance, He wants you to know Him. He wants you to be His child. He wants you to hear His voice. He wants you to know His love intimately. He wants you to walk in this ever-present comfort. Walking with God is like being at the eye of a storm. When there's just chaos going on all around us. But yet, God is our Emmanuel. He is God with us. And it is only knowing God intimately that we experience His peace, regardless of the circumstances around us. My God was with me. 7 years I worked in the city of Compton and inner city Los Angeles, working with gang members. I opened a school down there working with kids who had been locked up. All of them had either committed murders or other violent crimes. And they had been locked up not only in juvenile hall, but taken to youth authority, which is like maximum security jail for children and teenagers. And I opened up this school in Compton specifically to work for kids who were being released from this maximum security jail and just work with them to try to help them adjust and adapt to society and to share God's love with them openly. It was a charter school. And man, I could tell you stories about that school all night. But you know what? One day, a 250-pound seventh grader, he grabbed a compass, you know, the kind with it's got a pencil on one end and a point. He swiped that thing off my desk and just went after me, swinging it like a knife to try to stab me and kill me. But you know what? My God was with me. I came out of that wrestling match with someone who weighed 60 pounds more than I did. And I just told the other students, call security. And they came bursting through the door, and somehow I had that guy underneath me pinned down. How? I have no idea, but my God was with me. My God was with me. Not only the God who was with Daniel and who was with Joshua, but He was with me. See, my God said to Jacob, He said, I will be with you. My God spoke to Joshua, and Joshua was terrified. And my God had to speak to Joshua 4 times and say, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. Why? Because I am with you. When my God was calling Joshua to rise up and step over that edge and take the leadership of the people. And my God spoke to Isaiah and He said, do not fear, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And my God spoke to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah was a little boy. Isn't that incredible when we open up the book of Jeremiah and look at the very beginning? He's just a little guy when God began speaking to him. And God said to Jeremiah, don't be afraid. I am with you. My presence is with you. Jeremiah, I'm calling you to step over that edge, but you will never be alone. You will always know my presence. You will always hear my voice. My God told the disciples, wait here in Jerusalem, and I'm going to be leaving now, but I'm going to be sending the Holy Spirit. And just wait and pray. And when the Holy Spirit comes, He will fill you with power. And you will preach the gospel to the nations. And so they waited, and they waited, and about a month went by, over a month. And then on the day of Pentecost, they were in this upper room, up on the second story of this building, and the Holy Spirit blew like wind, and tongues of fire were seen over their heads. But it's what happened next that we so often forget about. But yet the whole story is leading us to what happened next, because when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, immediately, what did they do? They left that upper room immediately. They jumped up out of their chairs. They went running down the steps. They went racing outside onto the streets where the nations were gathered. And they began preaching the gospel to the nations in their own languages. And that is my God who still fills us with His Holy Spirit and calls us to step out by faith and trust Him. You see, we've been talking about this theme of stepping up to the edge. And on Sunday, we talked about risk and how God calls us to be willing to leave behind our zones of comfort and safety and trust Him with our lives. We've talked about how God, just the basis of His calling is always His love, His agape. and that it is His love that fills us and lifts us up and pushes us forward over that edge. It is His love filling our hearts for the people around us. And we've talked about how God calls us to fall to our knees in repentance and have a radical change of our thinking, to understand, to see, to have a paradigm shift, to repent, to begin to see through the eyes of faith. But tonight, I just simply want you to walk out of this room with one central idea, and that is that your God, your Emmanuel, He is yours. And He will always be with you. And wherever God calls you, His presence will be with you. And wherever, whatever God tells you to say, His presence will be with you. So what then should we be afraid of? The other night I shared with you about Timotheus, who just raced over the edge and ended up drowning as a result. Where is he now? He's experiencing the total fullness of the presence of God. And life is like that. Life is like walking a tightrope or being in a circus and being a trapeze artist. And we leap off that tower and we swing and we fly through the air and we let go. And we try to catch the other bar that's coming up. But if our hands slip and for some reason we fall and we tumble through the air, there is always, always, always the arms of Christ waiting to catch us, even if it means waking up in eternity. On Sunday, I just shared with you that I know that God has spoken to you in some unique way. And for some people, God calls you over the edge to go into full-time ministry, to go into missions or something like that. For others, it's totally about what to do with the business. It has maybe something to do with your family or your children. But for each one of us, God speaks and calls us to step up to that edge. And I just call you tonight. Would you be willing to just say, God, I've always known you from a distance. I've always known about you. And I realize tonight that perhaps I have been holding you at arm's length. And I haven't truly known what it means to walk with you, to know your presence. But tonight, I want to know you. My soul cries out for you. God, from tonight, would you be my God? Would you be more than just God? And I want nothing more than to just walk with you and know you, experience you, and live for you all the days of my life. Let's close in prayer. Father, we don't know what we're going to be experiencing when we leave and go home from this camp. Whether that's tomorrow or Saturday or another day. And Lord, the months and the year ahead of us may be very easy or it may be difficult. It may be quite comfortable or it might be quite painful. We just simply don't know the future. Only you see it. But God, we simply ask that You would be our God. That You would make Yourself known to us intimately. We don't want to just know You like we know someone that we read about in the newspaper. We want to sit with You and enjoy You and experience Your presence, hear Your voice speaking to us. And we remember how Elisha woke up with such a relaxed calmness because he could see You, because he knew You, because he had known Your protection already for so long. And we so urgently want to become people who, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the crises, regardless of pain and suffering and difficulties, surprises, accidents, somehow know You and experience Your presence and Your peace. And are able to walk through life just praying and saying, Lord, open His eyes. Lord, open her eyes so that they might see You, so that they might know the God that I know. And Lord, we just simply ask that You open our eyes tonight, that You open our hearts, touch us with Your love, strengthen our hands to serve those around us. We love You and praise You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.